A very special guest today. His name is Michael Barone. He is a conservative American political analyst, pundit, and journalist. He is best known for being the principal author of the Almanac of American Politics. He is a regular contributor on Fox News, and he was with the U.S. News and World Report for 18 years and currently with the Washington Examiner and a fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. Mr. Barone, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks. It's good to be with you.
Tell us, for our listeners, describe what the Almanac of American Politics is all about.
Well, the Almanac of American Politics is a book that comes out every 2 years, and it has statistics and written descriptions of each state and congressional district, every member of the Senate, the House, the governors. It has their job ratings by various groups of left, right, and various forms of center. It's got the... it's also got their voting record on various key issues. So it's a guide to citizens and political activists, and it's available from National Journal in print and on the web.
So the National Journal, you can get that.
NationalJournal.com.
I got it. All right. Now, obviously, you're an expert in politics and in analyzing politics. What do you make of the Republican primary to date?
Well, we've obviously seen people going, you know, up and down, in and out, and some people have tried to portray this as a battle of conservatives versus a moderate, or as Newt Gingrich puts it, a Massachusetts moderate when he's referring to Mitt Romney.
Right.
I see it a little differently. I think what's happened is that you've had an infusion, an inrush into political activity of hundreds of thousands of people, perhaps millions, which is symbolized by but not limited to what we call the Tea Party movement.
Right.
It's a big movement of people into politics. They have a whole set of issues about which they're concerned and in which they have issues that are positions and priorities that have been forged in the Obama years, in the years 2009, 2010, and 2011, and in response to the vast expansion of size and scope of government by the Obama Democrats. Against that, they're trying to find a presidential candidate who's pure. But the problem is that there is a trade-off between purity and experience. If you have a public record that goes back, in the case of Newt Gingrich and Ron Paul, to the 1970s, you're not going to have a pure record by the standards of today's Tea Party movement. If you have a record that goes back to 1990, like Rick Santorum, or to a 1994 campaign like Mitt Romney, you're not going to have a pure record either. And what we've seen what's happened. You know, the candidate with the purest record, who entered national politics only 5 years ago, Michelle Bachmann, she was eliminated by voters of her own native state as simply lacking the stature and experience to be president. She was had a lot of purity, but not enough experience. We've seen people go back and forth on the other candidates, you know, a boom for Rick Perry and then his weak debate performances, a boomlet for Herman Cain. Various charges made against him, but also a total lack of preparation on foreign policy and that sort of thing, which, after all, is the part of the president's job where he has the greatest leeway to make a difference.
Right.
And then we saw a boomlet for Newt Gingrich. We saw that go down. We saw it go up for Rick Santorum in Iowa, but then people discovered, hey, he backed earmarks. Well, so did, you know, about 92 other senators. It wasn't a conservative party. It wasn't conservative movement dogma, litmus test at the time he was doing it, but in today's atmosphere it is, and so once again he's been judged negatively, and it's gone back and forth. So I see it up there. I think there's something to me a little dismaying about the result of a primary, the South Carolina primary. When I hear voters saying, as I do, we love it because he's annoying the media. He's attacking the media.
Right.
A president needs to do something more than attack the media. If you want to hear people attack the media, tune in talk radio. There's lots of people that do it and do it very well. If you want to have somebody do something as president, I think it's a different skill set.
Interesting. Interesting. Tell me this. Mitt Romney, he released his tax returns.
Yeah.
He was hesitant, stammered even in the debates about doing so. Finally, he does that, and they're demonizing that. If you're advising Mitt Romney, what do you have him say?
Well, I have him say what he said because he's in a bad position. I think he should have done this a long time ago. He now takes that position himself. I was astonished that he was not better prepared to handle that issue than he was in those debates in South Carolina, and that he stammered and so forth. I wrote a little article for the Washington Examiner about his unpreparedness and also the unpreparedness in different ways of Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum, all of which surprised me. It seems to me that this is something that was an obvious question and that they should have addressed it more smoothly than they did.
As far as Newt Gingrich in Florida, obviously I saw a poll last night or day before last night that his lead was maybe 8 points in Florida. Do you think that continues, or do you think he rises and falls like everybody else that's been up against Romney?
Well, I would have had a pretty good prognostication record during this Republican campaign cycle if every time somebody said to me, "Do you think this continues?" I'd responded, "No."
Interesting.
I think opinions are in the process of being formed. People do know a fair lot about Newt Gingrich, and one of the things that has me concerned about the possibility of him being the Republican presidential nominee is that people have had very negative reactions to Newt Gingrich going back to after he had been Speaker of the House and was a highly visible figure in the first month of 1995. And to some extent, I've been perplexed by that. But, hey, and there's something in him, apart from his issue positions, that clearly troubles a lot of voters, that they just don't like the guy. I think it's kind of unfair myself. I thought so at the time. But I have come to think that it's something like, when you're in high school and there's one kid in the class who wears the wrong kind of glasses and a sort of ugly sweater, and he's always off by himself reading some strange thing.
Right.
And three or four times during history class every day, he raises his hand, he contradicts the teacher, he says this theory is here. He makes fun of the other students' lack of knowledge and stuff. And you know what? All the other kids hate him.
Right, right.
He can't get a date with anything that has fewer than four legs, just a dog. He's a klutz on the athletic field. Nobody wants him on his team, and he's basically shunned by the other kids. It's really fair. I was something sort of close to that in high school myself, so I feel a certain empathy. However, it was an all-boys school, and incidentally, Mitt Romney was 3 years behind me.
Is that right?
and we didn't have those kind of pressures exactly. But I think the reaction to Newt Gingrich over the years has been something like that. He simply hasn't done well with voters. And I think that's one thing Republican primary voters may want to think about. Mitt Romney's ratings in some polls now are more negative than they were initially. I think this is a result in part of, the opposition that he's been running into from Newt Gingrich and others, and to some extent that unpreparedness on taxes that you pointed to. I think that's reflected in those numbers. But the enduring response to Newt Gingrich over the years has not been positive. He champions what he says are ideas that are backed by 70% of the American people, and that very often, though not always, is the case. And he's had some genuine accomplishments in public life. He slightly exaggerates them in his campaign spiel, but they are genuine. We did have welfare reform as a result. He did play a key role in the Republican majorities elected in 94, 96, and 98. They did send spending down, the trajectory of spending down, in a way that contributed importantly to balancing the federal budget. He did cut a deal with cutting the tax rates and so forth, and he was working seriously on putting Medicare into a track that would be sustainable. That was lost because Bill Clinton was diverted by Monica Lewinsky's scandal and ended up embracing the liberals rather than his principles, or what he claimed were his principles. So, look, Gingrich has his accomplishments, but at the same time, Mitt Romney is correct when he says he resigned in disgrace. He was forced out by his own party, which is true. Members of his own party would not vote for him for Speaker of the House, which meant that the Democrats would organize the House after the 98 election, even though the Republicans had won the most seats. And in that situation, Gingrich stood down. So he's had a record as a leader that is, as Rick Santorum, a conservative himself, has argued, erratic.
We're talking today to Michael Barone, author of the Almanac of American Politics, Fox News contributor. Let me ask you this question. I was talking to my son the other day. Here's what he said. I said, do you think that Newt Gingrich beats Barack Obama in a general election should he get the nomination? And my son said, Dad, you know, it seems to me, or it occurs to me, that a general election is half beauty contest, half popularity contest. And in that regard, Newt Gingrich doesn't fare well. I'd love to hear your opinion there. And then who do you think is most electable versus Barack Obama?
Well, I think your son was expressing to a considerable extent the ideas that I just expressed,
right,
in considerably a greater number of words and perhaps less gracefully. is Newt Gingrich, you know, does he have personal character factors that would make him less than an ideal or Republican nominee? I mean, we're looking at polls where pluralities say that they prefer the generic Republican candidate over Barack Obama, but then when you actually match named Republican candidates, they're behind,
right,
Obama.
Right.
We should run somebody, you know, a guy with a paper bag with two holes for the eyes, the generic Republican, should run for the candidate. And I think Gingrich, and not just because of his messy personal life, though that perhaps, you know, is a negative, but because of the style of leadership that I said, he varies from time to time. He's unsteady, and you've got lots of... I think it's significant that not very many of the people that were closest to him when he was Speaker of the House, when he was doing that work that really did more than any single person, other single person, to create the Republican majority, not many are backing him. I mean, former Congressman Bob Walker is backing him. Former Appropriations Chairman Bob Livingston, Washington lobbyist these days, is backing him. So is Walker. They are, and you can name some others. But the number who are not backing him is legion, and some of those people, and people with, in many cases, impeccable conservative records, have been saying this guy should not be president.
Right. Let me ask you this question. I've got a little bit of time here left, or about 1 minute left. What if Barack Obama does win a second term, in your opinion, what does that look like?
Europe.
Wow. In a word, Europe.
Well, you know, we can't be sure how much the president is doing by, you know, out of conviction these days, and how much he's doing out of calculation. But I think the indications are that he, unlike the considerably more flexible Bill Clinton, really does believe that if we make ourselves more like a European welfare state, not how he's phrased it, but that's what he's talking about.
Absolutely.
That would be better for this country. And of course, it seems to me we've had the example of Europe over the last, we've seen what the trajectory in Europe is, and the answer is that's not good. He wants to create a culture of dependence. And one of the things that I've been heartened by is that movement of the so-called Tea Party movement, we use that term as a shorthand, have been,
sure,
calling for a culture of independence and citing the Declaration of Independence, as has been Mitt Romney, as has been Newt Gingrich, as has been Rick Santorum, as has been Ron Paul, the Republicans in the race now. So we're returning to the founding. I think it would be hugely unfortunate for our country if Obama should win a second term and have a chance to consolidate social welfare state in America that will ill serve us and deny us and end some of the things which has made this country special, distinct, and unique.
All right, we're talking today to Michael Barone. He is the author of the Almanac of American Politics. Sir, if folks want to find out more about you, do you have a website they can go to?
They can go to WashingtonExaminer.com, the Beltway Confidential blog. I blog there. They can go to AEI.org, the American Enterprise Institute website, and click on Scholars and Michael Barone, and I'll be there.
All right, we've been talking today to Michael Barone, the author of the Almanac of American Politics. Sir, thanks so much for being with us. You've been a great guest.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
All right, we're coming up on